You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Every 4 minutes, a call is made to the police or a notification is sent to Child Services related to a case of family violence. It's also the name given to a newly released report. It is the third of a series of researches looking into the justice system and written by Dr. Ian Lemby, the Chief Science Advisor to the Justice Sector. The first research looked at the incarceration rate, the second focused on youth offending, and the final report presents evidence of the role family violence plays as a precursor to offending. About 150,000 calls for care or protection notices are made each year. 80% of child and young offenders have experienced family violence, while 87% of young offenders aged 14 to 16 years old had previous care and protection concerns. The report highlights the extent of family violence in the country. A third of New Zealand women experience physical or sexual partner violence, rising to 55% when psychological or emotional abuse is included. And at least one in 10 New Zealand men have experienced childhood sexual abuse. While pointing out the statistics, Dr. Lemby insists his report reveals family violence is not so much an individual issue within a couple or a home, but more so a community issue that spreads through generation. And community is where the solution lies.
We all know it's a significant problem, and people frequently ask what can be done about it. And in this discussion paper, what I do is I set out the evidence that really tells us where we should begin. What I do is I highlight in this report the intergenerational aspect of family violence, and that really this report is, it's not just about couples and adults, it really is a story about children and babies, and mm-hmm. It's really about if we are going to change things in New Zealand, Aotearoa New Zealand, we really need to focus on families that are at high risk. We need to look at supporting young families, pregnant mothers. We need to look at the focus on interventions for children, for babies, and really see what we can do about breaking the intergenerational cycle. Mm. What I summarise in the report is really focus on three things: childhood, social norms, and workforce. And you know, I highlighted just now the issue about childhood. We must really look at across a whole lot of areas in terms of not just about how parents or caregivers treat children, but actually the whole thing from poverty to inequity to racism, colonization, those things. And we really need to work about that. We need to work with getting school engagement for maltreated children. We need to look at employment, quality high education, preschool education, etc.
Just to bounce off something you just said, because you mentioned what you call ACE, those adverse childhood experience, which go beyond the individual family and obviously look at sort of trans community factors that might affect people. What are those and why are they so important?
Well, they really are that we need to understand the importance of them, and that they include not only family violence and maltreatment, but also wider social issues of childhood exposure to alcohol, drugs, food, security, homelessness, and really that these things are key risk factors for physical and mental health issues across the lifespan. So if a child is born into a family and that has a high number of ACEs, then they are linked to a whole lot of negative outcomes, life outcomes. So it's not just in terms of whether you end up in the justice system, but whether you end up in the mental health system, whether you end up in poverty, and socioeconomic disadvantage. And then, of course, what happens is that impacts on your ability to engage in the education system and subsequent employment. So things just escalate, and the likelihood that your children in turn will end up in the same system is also very high. Mm. And that my report highlights that actually it's not inevitable if you have a parent who is in the adult criminal justice system that you'll end up there yourself. It is not. But if you do, there's a higher likelihood that you will end up in the adult justice system.
So there are obviously a lot of things that need to be touched on and improved at the same time. I suppose it requires sort of like a cross-field approach, which is with solutions that are more mid to long term rather than short term. And I feel like in the current system, it's more appealing to have short term solutions that sort of look good and give the message that, oh yeah, we can, you know, we're fighting against this, rather than start implementing those long term solutions, which obviously take much longer to show any effects. Are you actually hopeful that your recommendations will be followed and that we can act on this?
So I think you're right. I think some of the solutions are medium to long term, but as part of this report, I visited a program in South Auckland that is a place-based initiative that is a program called Start Well. It's a very common sense program. And I took the police minister, Minister Nash, there, and really what they're doing is they're working with pregnant mothers that have high needs, also where they've got young children, babies, and they're actually providing a lot of wraparound intensive services for them. That's seamless, that highly trained nurse practitioners and social workers that work together and basically have a very can-do and very practical approach to supporting these mothers and these whānau in a whole range of areas. And so here's something that basically has been set up, it's working, and it's running at the moment. And there are a lot of other community initiatives going on around the country at the moment. And I think what it is, it's about saying, what does the evidence tell us about what can be done, and how do we adapt those culturally for the different cultural groups, whether that's ethnic cultural groups or other cultural identities within New Zealand, and adapt them and actually pilot them and roll them out. And I think that it requires very good leadership and cross-party support from government, mm-hmm. but I also think it requires actually a commitment from key ministries and the chief executives, the deputy chief executives, to actually engage in this process and say, we are committed to actually changing the culture of New Zealand. And I think the other thing that really needs to happen, you know, a couple of other key points, is clearly social norms. And we must create and challenge the norms and create a culture of non-violence in New Zealand. And that's about how we treat children, how we treat women, how we treat each other. And that is partly about, obviously, about education campaigns and media awareness raising campaigns, but it also is challenging the media is not to focus on victim blaming and individual service failures, but potentially also to look at, you know, what's working well, what do we need to do to prevent this, and actually mm-hmm. pushing those campaigns in the media.
Is it also getting out of that very good and bad narrative where if people are violent, it's they're inherently bad people, and then there's them versus the good people, and then sort of that's what I found in your report, trying to have a more nuanced approach that says there are factors that might make people do things that they shouldn't be doing. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're born bad and they're evil. It just means that we have to work so that we can prevent this.
That is correct. And what I highlighted yesterday is that there are those people that, you know, clearly that working with perpetrators, you know, needs to be part of this whole conversation. Some perpetrators self-refer to non-violence programs and really, really want to change, and their whānau really want them to change. Others see nothing wrong with their behaviour and have little awareness of the impact of their behaviour. But many can be supported to change when the right range of issues in their lives are addressed. And, you know, some people clearly, because they're offending, their high level of risk, need to be placed in prison, and that's where they absolutely belong. But most people actually get out. Mm. And what they need is they need a lot of community support, a lot of intensive wraparound service, education, they need employment. And obviously that their treatment and rehabilitation not only needs to take place within prison, but also outside prison, and they need to be given support when they're out there and so they actually sustain the changes that they make.
Do you think in the current economic system and political system, and as a society as we are now in New Zealand, do you think all these changes can be made without shifting everything and having a completely different approach? Do you think we can have these solutions while staying in the current system?
I'm optimistic. I think the time is nigh. The time is now to actually do something about it. I'm optimistic. I think there's a whole process of the Justice Summit that was held earlier on this year. There's a whole process of where the Ministry of Justice and other ministries are having dialogue with and engaging with communities and saying, what sort of New Zealand do we want to actually create in the future, and what, mm-hmm. how do we get there, and what do we need to do about it? And there are a lot of very good initiatives in the communities that the communities are doing, and this needs to happen. I think the solutions do lie in the communities, but I think also it's where the communities need to be supported. They need to be supported in terms of, you know, with training, workforce development, etc., and also supporting them to implement the programs that have been shown to actually work. And it is possible to change it, but it requires shifting the funding from building more prisons to building more schools. And that is possible to do, but it requires brave and strong leadership, but also an intelligent and smart view of how to address the incarceration problem and the whole crime problem in New Zealand.
Okay, from reading your paper, I have to say, I thought it was a very sort of behavioural approach, where obviously social environment plays a key part. You touched a little bit on trauma as well, but I thought it lacked a little bit of psychology. What part do you think psychology plays in this, on top of the social environment?
I think, you know, I mean, obviously being a psychologist, I think it's pretty key. I think that it really, you know, the role that trauma plays in people's lives, all of our lives, is massive, and it has a defining effect on how we relate to others, the jobs we get, our health outcomes, our behaviour, what we think, how we feel, all the way through our lives. And I think psychology is absolutely key, but it cannot be separated. It cannot be viewed as an individualistic Western sort of model, and it has to be. We all grow up in a community, in a family, in a whānau of any form, in a cultural. There's a whole lot of different things that impact on how we are and our psychological makeup, and those things guide how we think and feel and behave. But I think it is an important part of this process. But I think that the solutions need to be community, they need to be psychology, they need to be system, they need to be broad, and it needs to be a broad discussion as a first point about, you know, what are we going to do about this as a country.
Yeah, and that's also one thing that you point out in the report, is the need for more cross-party discussion with all the stakeholder, kind of taking the time to meet and talk through the issues and finding solutions together.
Yeah, I think so. I think it requires a community government partnership. It requires community government and iwi partnership and all the different groups within the community. And I think that this discussion paper on preventing family violence is really a conversation about children. It's about babies. And there's no one in New Zealand, Aotearoa New Zealand, that would agree that actually, you know, or disagree with the fact that actually, you know, we need to create better environments for children. We need to create better homes, warm, nurturing, caring, loving environments that are violence-free.
This report every 4 seconds has been handed to the government. The Undersecretary to the Ministry of Justice covering domestic and sexual violence issues, Jan Logie, says we need to look at the big picture, in citing the importance of adequate income, housing, support for parents and wider environmental conditions in the efforts to reduce violence.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.